We trust that our God will be glorified in his praise as we hear his word now. We're thankful for the one whom the Lord has sent. We asked Pastor David Dickerson last night to introduce him in that way that he could do, as the one who's known Pastor Bearden for, I guess, 80 years now, maybe. No, I'm sorry, 60 years, I should say. You're old, but not that old. I'm sorry, brother. My apologies. 60 years. We welcome him back into this pulpit. We thank God for the word God brought us last night. Pastor, come and preach to us.
Well, good evening, folks.
I was in a meeting up in Baltimore, and I'd gone in on the plane, and I was getting ready to go back to Tennessee. And I was sitting there, and there's a lot of ladies and children waiting for the plane. And there were some folks behind me, and they were using some foul language. And it was bothering me. And finally, he used the Lord's name in vain. And when he did, I said, "Sir, I would really appreciate it if you would not used my Lord's name in vain. He saved me by his marvelous grace, and I would just appreciate that." And he said, "Oh, we must have a prophet or someone, you know, one of those evangelicals among us." I said, "Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I know the Lord." And I said, "God has called me to preach the word, and the reason I'm saying this is what he said just a little bit ago about Brother Dickerson had known me since I was 80, or he was 80 or somebody. Anyway, and so at the end, he said, "I'm Moses' brother." He said, "I'm Moses' brother." And we got ready to get on the plane. I said, "We'll have a good trip home, won't we?" He said, "You will. I don't think I'm going to." So you never know, do you? As God speaks to people, and I bless him. My heart being here has been a treat already. I want to thank you for the good music, Brother Nathan. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And that special was really good. And you know, we're in the cup age, but we're also in the river age, according to John 7, right? Isn't it wonderful? And so God is so good. I'm going to take a little liberty. I was going to ask you about this, and I did not get the opportunity. But I've got this little book, The Price and Power of Revival. It's an excerpt that's called The Prince of Revival by Duncan Campbell. We've got books over here. I believe there may be some of these here. There's some in the, some over in the dining area over there. And what I, the reason I'm doing this, I want you to pick that up. There's no cost. We're just getting out the word of God. And I believe it'd be profitable to you if you'll read it. Okay? I've got a book that's entitled Revival Outlines for myself, and it might be helpful to you. There's a lot of stuff on the table, but of all the tables, this little table over here may be the most important because it's the works of Dr. James Stewart. And if you've never been acquainted with him, well, he's with the Lord now, but Dr. Stewart is a great Christian. I had the privilege to hear him preach, and I bless the Lord. I'm taking a little time, but I believe it's necessary. Now, we're getting the word of God out to many parts of the world, even in North Korea. God put me in this because in a time of my wife's illness, I stepped down at the church, and I know what I'm doing. I'm just in the will of God. I'm humble to be here and humble to be able to introduce you to this work, but I wish you would. I've got a lot of books of that we've written, others have written, and they're free. They're on the table. We ship books to the across the states. and various places, and many parts of the world, up to 150,000 in Africa and many parts of the world, Spanish and all of that. So I don't want to take a lot of time. I usually don't ever mention the books before I preach, but I felt like I ought to do that tonight, okay? Now, I've got this, and I want to give it to you. And then we're going to open our Bibles to the Word of God. Dr. James Stewart wrote about revival. He said, revival exalts Jesus Christ. One thing we need to be careful with, in America, I think we got too much pride, and it's got into our churches. But I'm just humbled to be here. I really would not have ever thought that I'd have the privilege to come here and preach. And not for any reason, but I just was, when Brother Marshall called me and asked me to come, I said, I'll pray about it. And I'm so glad. Dr. Stewart said, revival invades the kingdom of darkness. Revival promotes the scriptures. Revival honors sound doctrine. Revival reaches out to God and mankind. You probably already have read that, some of you. And you may have a lot of his booklets. But everything that comes in, we put right back into the ministry. I don't take one cent of it. I promise you. Revival is not evangelism. But revival always promotes evangelism. We can evangelize and not be revived, but we're kindly seeing our weakness in these days. In fact, we're not just kindly seeing it. It is a fact. We need the power of God. I'm not about the power of God. It's not by my power, and it's not by your power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Isn't that right? So revival is an awakening for the saints. And I believe for the most part, the people that's here, is the element in our churches that God is going to revive. He needs to revive us, the remnant of God. There's pockets across the country that I have been preaching to, and I've seen more light in the last 12 months than I'd seen for a long time. I believe God's stirring. And I don't want to take so much time with this, but I think we need to know where we're going before we start. Right. Revival is from God. Nobody has a revival in their pocket. And revival is from God. God can do so many things that no man can do, and one of them is he can send revival. Oh, we had a great prayer meeting. I thought tonight, revival is a return to God. Revival is a time of refreshing. Revival is a time of recovery. Revival is a time to repent. Amen. So, let us turn our Bibles, and I'm going to go back. The main part of the message will be from Psalm 77. But I want to go back tonight, because I've got a purpose in this, to the book of Habakkuk in chapter number 3, and I'm just going to give you a little something from this, and then we're going to the 77th chapter of the book of the Psalms. This is the prayer of Habakkuk. He said, he prayed a prayer of Habakkuk, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. You know, we're in a day when there's a lot of fear across our country, and in one sense, that's not wrong. But we ought to know, if we are people of faith, that God is going to take care of those that are his. So he goes on to say, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. The thoughts of my time, at least at this point, I don't even think I gave the title last night, but it's found in Psalm 77. And it's in verse number 10. The Bible said in verse 10, "And I said, this is my infirmity." My, what a statement. "But I will remember." You know, memory is a wonderful thing. "I will remember" five times through verse number 11. He uses that term, remember. "I will remember the years of the most," or the right hand of the Most High. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." You know, the Bible teaches that Moses knew the ways of God. The children of Israel knew the works of God and the acts of God. And you know what we all need? We need to know the ways of God. And they're found out in his word and in obedience to his word, and people that are indwelt and filled with the Holy Ghost. Indwelling comes at salvation, and the filling of the Holy Ghost comes with total commitment to Jesus Christ. And without that, we have no power to do the work that God does through us. Because without him, you can do nothing and I can do nothing. So, the Bible said, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and think of thy doings." Now, I didn't get as far last night as I thought I might. But I'm taking my time because I believe this is so important. I remember the end of World War II. I was born in 1937. I saw our men and women come from the battlefields. And I saw all of the other battles that many of you have been involved in and wars. And I'm going somewhere with this, but I've never seen our beloved country in the condition it's in. In fact, I've never seen our churches nowhere around being in the condition they're in. And I want to say these things, and I hope you'll take them to the right heart. Where I'm going, I'm meeting men, and I believe Christ is coming, and I believe he could come before we get, before we leave this service. I'm a premillennialist, and I grew up on both sides. So I'm not here to raise any fight. Okay, I know what I believe, and I'm sure you know what you believe about that. But the Lord's coming, right? You know what I'm hearing people say? I'm hearing people say this. The Lord's going to come and get us out of this mess. Well, there is a mess, and people has made the mess. Not God. And it's good to look to the Lord and know that he is coming, and if he comes during this mess, he's going to get us out. But I don't understand how that we could be so dry and dead in our churches and sitting around thinking the Lord is coming and going to get me out of this mess. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? What about your loved ones that's lost? What about my family and your family that might not know the Lord? Maybe they've made professions, but they don't know Christ. What about them? Is it right to think that way? I really don't. I don't see how you can and be right with God. But I've seen them say that, and I'd go back for another meeting over the last 3 or 4 years, and they got out of their mess, they died, and they buried them. The Lord still had not come. I don't want to kill the service before we get started, but I want to see which side of the fence we're on and where are we. You know, I hope God makes America great again, but it won't be in all this prosperity and the liquor and the ungodliness of this nation. If this nation becomes great again, it will be when God's people repent and turn back to Christ. Now I've been lengthy, but we just got one service tonight and most people are close by. So I'm going to the 77th Psalm and I'm coming down. I preached last night on the prayers of these people in this day, the writer and the song leader, and it appears to me, the studies that I've done, that it was in the same time of Habakkuk. So we talked about Habakkuk, and then we talked about the prayers of the saints of God, of these men, this psalm that was written in Psalm. So we covered verse 1 and verse 2. And we're down in verse 3, and now he begins to ponder. He first prayed. The second thing he did was he made pleas unto the Lord. And we're going to come tonight to the first thought. Then he begins to ponder. You ever do that? You ever wake at night? Ponder. Where are we? What about the puzzle we're in? Where should we be with God in these difficult days? But I tell you, there's hope in the Lord. When there's no hope anywhere else, there's hope in the Lord. I would not want to preach here this night or any other place and tell you there's no hope. There's hope in the Lord. Mankind has made the mess, but there's hope in Christ. He's the risen Christ. He defeated the devil. He defeated sin. He got out of the barry tomb. He's ascended back to the Father. And I'm telling you, while I stand here, if God will help me and fill me and anoint me and help you, it'll come from above. All good gifts and perfect gifts comes down from the Father above. So he said in verse 3, we have, I remembered God. There's the word again. You know, it do all of us good to remember God, not just occasionally. We ought to have our minds filled with God day by day. And was troubled. And I complained. Are you guilty of that? Don't we all get guilty of that if we're not careful? That's the flesh. You know, that's that pride that's in us that needs to go. So he said, I complained. And then he goes on to say, and my spirit was overwhelmed. He said, I had more than I thought I could bear. You ever been there? Are you there tonight? If you're not, you may be there tomorrow. More than you can bear. We are weak. Man is weak. Man may be full of pride, and young people, God bless you. You may be full of pride, but I'm telling you, you are weak. But you can be strong in the Lord. And I once was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed beg bread. I'm telling you, God is a good God. Oh, those men that preached this morning and the message they gave. So the scripture says that you'll get in a place that you will feel like that you can't bear it any longer. The last time I went through that was December the 10th in 20, when my wife was very sick. And in the hospital, there's a time of COVID, and she had COVID. And I could not be with her. They wouldn't let me. But we knew 2 or 3 days before. Now this I know is different, but it is a personal thing. We knew several days before that she was not going to live. We wanted to bring her home. And I had COVID, so I would not let any of the children or grandchildren come to my house. But you know what I could do? I could weep before God. And I wept about it, and my heart was broken. But when your heart is broken, I am telling you, if you turn to God, you'll never be any closer. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, I will not despise. My heart was broke. I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. Oh, I walked the floors. I was on my knees. And I was praying, and God assured me that he is coming to take her home. And he did. But oh, in the midst of all of it, God did something that I never really expected. I thought when my wife passed this, when will I get to do the service? And during those days, God said, I want you to do it. I had some other brethren to help me, but I'm telling you, you families that are here, you men and women, you ought to have unconditional love in your family. We had unconditional love. We were not perfect. But apart from that, you cannot get God's work done. We need a revival in our own hearts. We need revival in our homes, and we need revival in our churches. And we can have revival in our heart, and we can have revival in our homes, and we can have revival in our churches, and we need revival in good old America. And it's left up to God's people to seek his face while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. I'm moving slow again, but I'm trying to obey the Holy Ghost. So the word of God, he said, I'm going to ponder this. I'm going to ponder this. Where does he come? Well, the Bible tells us. He said in verse number 4, thou holdest my eyes waking. In other words, he said, I cannot sleep. If you get to a place you cannot sleep because of the sins that's in our lives and the sins that's in our churches, and we get to where we cannot sleep because of the sin that's in our nation, and the souls of men, women, boys and girls, is lost without Christ. God's purpose and plan, oh, God's purpose and plan is perfect. We need to press forward with the Lord. Press in. Keep going. No place to stop. So he could not sleep, but he could not speak. You ever get so heavy that you cannot speak? Ladies, listen to me. You're important. Hannah was such a great woman. And she was a quiet woman, and all she did was move her lips. And the priest thought that she is drunk. The only thing you need to be drunk on is the Holy Ghost. He said, be not drunk with wine, didn't he? But be ye filled with the Holy Ghost, controlled by the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a daily process. That's a weekly process. That's an every hour process. You better be careful. I better be careful. Oh, my. Could not speak. But you could cry to God. And that's what I went through. But I knew it was coming. You know, in the thing that I went through. But we're going through something that's deeper than all of this. And that we have a remnant of God that really needs to be revived. So, we get to the point, if we're not careful, that we think the problem is too big, not only for ourselves, but it's too big for God. There's never been anything that's too big for God. God can do whatever he pleases to do because he always does right. And it could be that our nation is going under the iron fist. It's happening around the world. And I do believe that the battle is on. Satan and his demons on this side, and God Almighty and the glory that's in heaven and the church of the living God on this side. And God's going to bring her all together through that great tribulation. God's coming for his church. There's nothing, you know, when my wife was ill, I was in two meetings in the north, and I went home and I had someone looking after her. She wasn't down at that time. And I got home and she said to me, "Ray, I need to talk to you." And I sat down with her. And you know what she said? She said, "You got meetings, and why don't you put me somewhere? And then you can just go anywhere that God wants you to go and preach." And I looked her, Eliezer, I looked her right in her eyes. I love that woman because she is my bride. And I said, "Sue, I'll tell you what, I don't know what we'll do, but we won't do that." And I had a meeting west of Atlanta, and I went there, took Vance Hafner's book on "Though I Walk Through the Valley." I think I wept more that week and read that book in the Bible. There's an answer to your problem. There's an answer to your burden. There's an answer for your family. There's an answer for you. And the answer is God Almighty. I like to say it. God is Almighty. The Almighty God. There's none like him. You cannot compare him to man. Except, did you know there's no other thing that God ever created on this earth or in heaven that he made in his own image except people like you and I? And he wants to bring you in the kingdom. The Lord told me, go home. Preach as far as you can it, and don't ever leave her at night. Christ would never leave his bride, and neither should you. I knew that. God didn't have to tell me that. I just think I knew that. I was just wanting to know, what God do you want me to do? And you know, he had me to write that first book on the essentials of salvation. The essential of salvation is this: you must be convicted by the power of the Holy Ghost. You must be brought to the Lord. Any man that fights lordship, he either misunderstands it, he's in error, or he don't know the Lord. Amen. When the Spirit of God draws you, he draws you to the Lord. The Lord's the answer. The Lord's the one that shed his blood. The Lord is the one that went to Calvary. And the Lord's the one that got up out of the grave. Which side would you rather be on? Have all the money in the world, or be a pauper and know that you know Christ and that he's coming for you? Where it be in this life or where it be in death, you're just going to die one time if you know the Lord. If you don't know him, you're going to die twice and then forever and ever. We must preach the gospel. Become the Lord. You know what God does? Somebody said, "Well, you preach repentance." Is that right? That is correct. That's what the Bible teaches. Well, is it that works? Is it that man's works? No, it's a work of God that God is putting in man. And man hates sin. God hates sin. God hates pride. God tears it all down. And he puts it in your heart to repent. And when you turn from your sins and look by faith to Calvary, you have got on the right track and the only way to heaven. Now, that's just a side show. That's not a show. That's a side truth. I'm trying to move on. You wouldn't believe that, but I am. All right, so the problem, and he looks to the past. You can't live in the past, but it's good to look to the past in the proper way. So he looks to the past. Look at verse 5. He said, I have considered the days of old. I'm telling you, isn't that wonderful? And the years of the ancient times. He said, I've considered the days of the old. You have to go all the way back to Genesis, don't you? What about Abraham? What about Isaac? What about Jacob? What about the sons of Israel? How God took care of them. But you know what? They went against God. I'm afraid that's where we might be in America. I know we've gone against God. But I wonder, has God spoke and God spoke and people have turned their back upon him? That's what Israel did. Somebody said, you can't compare Israel from New Testament teaching. That's as far as they know. They ought to read 1 Corinthians 10, where it tells us what happened to Israel and it's going to happen to you. And when it does, you're going to be in trouble. We're in trouble. We're not going to be in trouble. We are in trouble as far as this world is concerned. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. Listen at this. The Bible said, I've considered the days of old. I started something last night. And you know, at my age, sometimes I start telling something and something else come to mind and I don't ever clear it all up. But I was talking about the move of God that we had in Calvary Baptist Church in Kingston. I was there 33 years till my wife's health went down, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I'm still in God's purpose doing exactly what God wants me to do. But in 1981, we had a move of God. And I told you about how God was saving young men and young ladies, and we had a school of 250. Brother Bob Doon was there. And I told folks last night, and some of you just come in, and God was moving. And I want to tell you on that project we had, you know that they gave those funds, but not only it kept coming, and we was able to put up the whole building. Now, that is a work that God did that's a physical work. But the greatest and most important thing is the spiritual side. But if you neglect the other side, you're going to be wrong. Is that right, preacher? Is that right, pastors? In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I must move. So he said, days of old. I went to that first church. I shouldn't have been there probably, but I'd learned to pray. I said this last night, I will say this to all the preachers. If you're a preacher, and you're not teaching your young converts and you're not teaching your church to pray, you're failing. You are failing. You ought to be praying for them and you should teach them to pray. It may seem like I'm scattered, but I believe I'm right on line. We must be men of prayer. Must be women of prayer. There's no revival where there's not people dedicated to prayer. There's no revival where there is not total commitment to Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And we used to preach that, and it used to be so in our churches, but we don't mind giving a token of ourselves, but we don't want to be totally committed because it may take us to the Middle East. Could take us behind the prison bars to preach. Or it may take us before it's over for our preaching. You never know. Total commitment. So, we went to that church. And they said, we haven't had anyone saved in this church in 2 years. We had that all-night prayer meeting. And God saved souls, and I baptized 13 in that first time. It couldn't have been nothing but prayer and just believing God. Do we really believe God? I want to be careful right here, but I think I need to say this to all of us. It's true in my life or your life. If we're just laboring in the flesh, laboring in the flesh. And we don't believe God. If you're praying and you're not believing God, as you pray in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God intercedes for you. Jesus Christ intercedes to the Father. And if you're praying according to the Scriptures and according to the leading of the Spirit of God, and you're asking God for something, and that is in your soul, and you believe it by faith, it's as good as done. That's real prayer. That is, you can pray until you have stayed awake and wore your body out and your brain out and everything else, but if it's not praying in the Holy Ghost of God with commitment to the Lord, don't expect you to draw many dividends from that. It is sin not to believe God. That's the things that men has done. That's why this work has gone through all the years. Oh my. How God. Don't you believe that God cannot do it? And because I guess of my age, I move slow, but maybe you can get it. Watch it, verse 5, the ancient times, I could go on. Verse 6 said, I call to remembrance, there's our word again, my song in the night. You know what? He said, it used to be when I had these burdens and things were going wrong that I could admire the good singing we've had here. It's been Bible singing. It's been good singing. And he remembered them songs in the night. And he was to a point now that he don't have a song. He's lost his song. Have you lost your song? Have I lost my song? Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your praise? Have you lost your thanksgiving? Have I lost my praise and my thanksgiving and my honor to God? My joy. Used to be a preacher friend back home, and he would preach to him for the Lord now. And he said, and this he had his ways of saying things. And he said, is the bird still singing? He said, if the birds is not singing, you don't have joy. He's talking about the birds in your heart. He's talking about having victory working from Jesus. Isn't that right? Now, if you're a pastor, you might have a few problems. And one of those days when I was pastor and I was preaching, and I guess I was cutting it a little close, but I wasn't cutting it close. The Bible was cutting it close. And I lost my piano player. And I had a missionary, and he spent 25 years, and he's with the Lord now, but he went to Australia. And He is out on deputation, and he came by. I said, Brother AJ, I said, we've lost a piano player. And he said, well, preacher, that's not good. But get the punch now. You know what he said to me? He said, but if you haven't lost your song, you'll still be all right. Amen. You know, it don't take a sack full of words if you just get them from God, does it? Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? That really helped me. I was a pastor. I wonder what we're going to do. You know what we ought to do? We need to get in the Word and pray. God will let you know what you need to do. You know, you can sing without a piano or an organist. If you've got a song in your heart, must move. All right, so he said, I commune with my own heart. Are you doing any of that? You look at things around you and you think, well, what's coming? They may take everything we've got. They may do it. I don't know what's coming. See, we think as Americans it could never happen to us. But people around the world is dying in your country. In many parts of the world right now while I preach, many people are dying for their faith in Christ. And if the woke group have their way in this country, their way is is to put you and I not just out of business, but take your life when a vice president of the United States of America said we need to depopulate our nation. That's what they tried to do with the COVID. And they did. If we was trying to depopulate our nation, I believe we'd close our borders. What they're saying is, I want to get rid of those Christians across the country. That's where we are. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm just preaching the truth. And I searched my heart and I said to Brother Justin, is it taking it too far to tell people really right where we really are? I don't think so. I think a lot of the remnant of God, even if we're not careful, believes the Lord's going to come and get us out of here before it ever happens in good old America. But America, we have turned our back on God. If we've ever prayed and been faithful to God, we need to be, folks. Oh, my. Where we are in these days and where we are in these times. I got to go a little farther. I need to go a little farther. So, he said, I diligently sought God. I think I'm going to give you these six things. He had six questions. I won't spend much time on them. You have any questions? You have any questions in this day? I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the work of God. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about ministry. I'm talking about the remnant of God. I guess all of us do. We may not always, God may not tell us ahead, but I want to tell you, sometimes faith is really difficult. But if you stay with faith in God, you'll always eventually get the answer. That's how he builds your faith. I've traveled the road over 66 years as a Christian. And I've just started my 66 years as a preacher. And I've been through the valleys and I've been through it all. Not at all, no. A lot. But you know what? Faith is always won out because Jesus never loses a battle. You may lose a war occasionally and it might be good for you. But you're not ever going to lose the battle if you stay with Jesus. You stay with this book. You're not going to lose the battle. The battle's won.
Yes, sir.
And it may mean that I don't know what. But whatever it is, God will be with us. I think that's the way we should live with this thing. It might be that this would be bringing more people to Christ and these that stood for God when times get so bad they don't know where to turn, they'll remember those saints that they talked about, that they thought they was senile or something, or they just didn't have good sense. That's just country talk. But I'm a country boy. But I know God. If I didn't know God, where would I be today? Probably in hell. But he got me. Like my brother when he got saved, he said, I got it, I got it, I got it. And I seen him the other day and he told me, he said, I still got him. And he'll be 90 right away. Do you have him? Do you have Christ? Away with all this religion. Give us the risen Christ. He's the answer. Oh, he's the answer. I got to finish this. Will the Lord cast off forever? Has God forgot about us? No. He goes on to say, will he be favorable no more? Is God not showing us any favor? Well, sure, he's showing us favor every day. Number nine, chapter, verse 9, has God forgotten to be gracious? What questions? But you can get so low, if you're not careful, you just doubt God. Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? I don't know all that God's doing, but I tell you one thing, he's rich in mercy. Remember what Rebecca prayed, don't you? In the time of wrath, remember mercy. He's rich in mercy. And when he gets here, and this is where we'll pick up, he come to this place, and now he's going to say, I will remember. And this is what he said. I got this highlighted and underlined in my Bible. And I said, this is my infirmity. You know what he did? He come to the point, he thought, who am I? Look what God's done for me. Look what God wants to do for me. Who am I? I'm weak. I'm just not strong. But he can make you strong. Yes. How many times you've been so far down you thought you'd need a stepladder to get up under the carpet? And when you get there and you get broke, and you begin to weep. How long has it been since we really wept? How long has it been since our hearts has really been broken for how God's being treated? See, I'm afraid we forget that. Look how God's being treated. I think the emphasis has been a lot here on to his glory. You a preacher? You a young man that you may one day be a preacher? If you can come to this when you're preaching, I'm done pretty close. You just preach whatever God tells you. He'll tell you if you're God's man. You just preach whatever God tells you. And pray that it bring glory to him. And whatever else happens, it'll be all right. That's what I've been praying for. God, humble my heart. I want to glorify you this week. It's not about me, except as God works through me. And it's not about any of us, except as God. Look at the men that spoke this morning. My, that's good. God, I believe. So we might find out, Lord willing, what we can not only remember, but how great God is. Okay? But I will remember the years of the right hand of God. That's what we need to do. Lord willing, we'll take up there later time. Let us stand. Brother Marsh, you come. I'm finished.